Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we look closely at who goes to the lake of fire in Revelation 21:8. The easy answer is those who are not saved, but there really is more to it than that whenever you consider the different dispensations. And it's important to understand these details when refuting those who will try to use this text to create a works for salvation setup in order to avoid the lake of fire. The cults love to teach this verse in order to support their works for salvation message, which is a false gospel. So we now begin our study of Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. It's titled in the form of a question, Who Goes to the Lake of Fire? This is part one.
All right, so we'll get into the study with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for everyone who's here with an open Bible, an open heart, wanting to learn your word. Very serious topic, but we can enjoy our study of your word, and because we have the peace of knowing we're saved, and we also can be motivated to go out and preach the gospel in light of what we study. But Lord, we need to know these things. We need to understand what you've told us in your word. If it, I believe it's in your book, it's intended for us to understand. So I pray that everyone will have that attitude tonight, that we all want to study to show ourselves approved unto you. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we can have discernment, we can try the spirits, and we can search the scriptures to see if what we're taught is so, all for the purpose of pleasing you and being able to be used by you in the ministry of the gospel. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you already take care of that? I figured you did. Who goes to the lake of fire? Revelation 21:8. That's the answer, question we're going to answer tonight. Of course, we don't know if it'll be a cherubim or a seraphim with the task of actually casting people into the lake of fire, but as I've explained, artists put wings on the guy so you know it's an angel. My only problem with some of these is when they make them look feminine. Because the Bible always says angels look like men. And so that's not a bad picture. It's really sobering if you can get past the wings and realize that that's a very sobering picture of what's going to happen at the Great White Throne Judgment. Turn your Bibles to Revelation 21. We'll read verse 8. All right, verse 8, let's read this. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, one time I read that verse and someone said, you just described the Democratic Party. But the fact is, there's enough Republicans that fall into that too. It doesn't matter what party politically you belong to. It matters whether or not you're saved. Yeah. Here's some examples of what we're talking about. The fearful. Because this sounds funny. You're like, wait a minute. You tell people who are timid go to hell? You know, people who are... It's fearful in a particular context. And Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, the people who are going to end up in hell are people who are more concerned or fearful of what men think of them, what the world thinks of them, rather than what God thinks of them. Believe it or not, you're going to find people, it's pride. That's why the Bible says pride, it goes before a fall. And what quote it, Jenny?
Pride goeth before
destruction. Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. I always get it mixed up. Pride goeth before destruction. And why? Well, pride is the sin of Lucifer.
Right.
And pride is what produces fear.
Yes.
Being proud and if there's an arrogance and you're fearful of what everybody else looks and thinks of you, you realize one of the things in Isaiah 14 talks about Lucifer, that the world's going to look at him and say, this is the one that caused all this trouble? Ezekiel 28. That's what caused all this trouble? You're going to be amazed when you're in the presence of God and you see Lucifer is such a small thing, small created being compared to God. Think of how small man is compared to Lucifer. And yet people are going to go to hell because they're concerned with what people think of them. People are concerned that if they say they believe God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days and that man did not evolve from a rock with rain, lightning struck it, a little amoeba pops out, swims around for a few million years, grows some legs, and turns into a fish and gets some lungs where his gills were and then squirms up on the, and then decides he's going to walk and breathe air suddenly. And somehow the guy did it at the same time some chick fish did it. So he was able to reproduce. And so forth and so on. It's insane. And people are afraid that if they say they don't believe in that, that they'll be thought to be narrow-minded and unscientific. You're just one of those uneducated hair rednecks. Yep. Sign me up.
Right.
I believe God created everything, and all human beings come from a man that was created as a full-grown human being.
Amen.
And that from that, everybody has, you know, come from the birth cycle, and there was no evolution. And if you think I'm crazy for believing that, I don't care because I don't fear you.
Amen.
Yep.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't care what you think of me. I've been in a group. I don't want to sound like I'm boasting. I'm just telling you this is what I believe we should be like. I've been in a group of people where these yabbity yabbities about their evolutionary nonsense, and other Christians are standing there kind of like, I said, I think that's nuts. They look at me like, no. We don't want. I'm like, how can anybody believe that nonsense?
How about being a sergeant, having privates, and you tell them exactly what you believe? The world is 6,000 years old, everything got created in 6 literal days, and man walked with dinosaur, and they used to be called dragons, and then all the privates look at you, then they laugh at you.
Yeah. And you know what? If you care what men think about you, and that's why they end up in hell, because they're so scared to death of being called a Bible thumper. Ooh, I don't want to be called that. I'd rather go to hell for eternity. That makes no sense. Don't fear them. Who should you fear? You should only fear the one who is holy, who has the right and the just position to look at you and to judge you and to either allow you into heaven or cast you into hell. That's the only one you should fear.
I grew up in the church, since I was really little, and I think that what you're saying about one God and a loving God and going to heaven, I think that's all probably true. But I bet that 99% of the people out here are getting so frustrated with you and so upset with you and so angry at God because of you.
They're already angry at God. The Bible says they're haters of God.
You're breaking my heart because I don't think that you're portraying the kind of God that people need and the kind of God that is real.
What kind of God do people need?
People need the kind of God who offers forgiveness and love. And I think that you're offering judgment.
See, that's what you face when you do street ministry. I get it all the time. People come up and say, you're driving people away from Christianity. Why? Because I'm telling them they need to be saved. I mean, you stand out there with a sign that says Christ died for sinners. Someone next to you with Jesus rose from the grave. Someone handing out tracts, and you preach, repent and believe the gospel. You know, that's all you're doing. And people say, you're driving people away. They're liars. Just like that man said, they hate God. I'm not driving anybody away. They are running from God. What we are out there doing is trying to rescue the perishing. And what you got here is, sadly, and this was a few years ago, this was recorded, and I pray she's repented since, but this is so typical of the Christian who she's worried about what these people think. She did not even mention what God says. What does the Bible say about this? What did Jesus and the apostles do to reach the lost? What's she concerned with? What the world thinks. But we also saw the unbelieving. Well, John 3:18, look what Jesus says about this. Read that with me. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm not driving anybody away from God. They're already damned. I'm trying to inform them of the fact that God would like to save them. Now, if that other version of Christianity worked, we would be in mass revival right now. Because you drive up and down the street for years in some places and never see anybody out there. And the only people knocking on your door are Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. And on the radio, most of the preaching is garbage. And on TV, it's almost all garbage. And they don't preach the gospel. It's all about money, money, money. Don't tell me that gospel preaching drives people away from God. You're just telling me you're a coward and you're so afraid of what everybody's thinking of you. And you're like, oh, I don't want people to think this is Christianity. Why? Because I want them to like us. I don't care whether they like me. I don't care. I am in the Noah generation. I'm going to preach and preach and preach until I get taken out. And I don't care what they think about me. And I'm telling you, that's what we should all exemplify in our lives. Don't just, you know, be a nasty, you know, always chewing people out. You know, don't act like Hillary and then just say, well, I don't care what people think about me. Because, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you taking a stand for the truth, preaching the gospel, hand out gospel tracts. And if that offends people, let it. You have not been placed on this earth to win popularity contests. That's not what God says. Go ye therefore and be liked by everybody. Not in there. I mean, it might be in some of these Bibles, but it's not in the King James Bible. Look at this. You talk unbelieving. He that believeth not is condemned already. Only 1 in 3 young born-again evangelicals believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. That means only 1 in 3 young born-again evangelicals are actually saved. You can call yourself born again until you turn into Jimmy Carter, and you're still going to hell if you're not saved. Abominable. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Being abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. And what this means is you can talk and profess I'm a Christian all you want. But if you, in your works, deny Him, there's a problem with your profession. And that's where, you know, some of the Baptists go haywire. It's like, you're preaching work salvation. No, I'm saying that true salvation produces certain things. Not the other way around. It's error when I say you have to do certain works to be saved. Now, this is the Word of God. Amen? Amen? This says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. So I don't care what a Baptist preacher thinks about it. That's the Word of God. And so, what's it mean? It says when you see someone who's abominable, and they say, I'm a Christian, they're a liar. Disobedient and under every good work reprobate. This is an example. This is a big gay pride parade, as they're called. Celebrating Sodom. The pride of Sodom. And what you get today, we stayed this, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
We talked about the sin of Sodom and the need for discernment. Mm-hmm. And they cut off half this verse today. I'm talking to the Christians. I'm not even talking about the unsaved people. I'm talking about the professing Christians. Well, I think they're denying God when they do this. They're telling us who they really are. It says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Isn't that amazing? That's their theme. Their parades, their t-shirts, everything. Pride. They don't even say like gay pride anymore. They just say pride. Just like the scripture says. Fullness of bread and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Now, I'm just here to tell you that Bible-believing churches give more to the ministry of the needy than the liberal churches and politicians and liberals in politics. If you look at the tax statements of those we've been able to look at, the liberals only give money to liberal political charities. Charities that are a scam, like the Clinton Foundation. They don't give to help the poor and the needy. That's what this is all part of, the Sodom big picture. And it's abominable because it says, look, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. We are living in the age of professing Christians standing with pride, holding hands with the abominable. Those people profess to know God, but in their works, they're denying Him. That's exactly what that's talking about. Murderers. John 8:44, read that with me. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There are people who are they profess to be Christians even, but whether they profess to be Christians or not, when they live a lie, they are habitual liars. All they can do is lie. But why? Why is that? It's because they're not saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. There might be some Christian, a real Christian, who gets caught up in lies. But that's the exception, not the rule. And God will deal with them. But we're talking about people who live it. And murderers. He was a murderer from the beginning. Every 24 seconds, an abortion takes place in the United States. Today, if it's the average day, 3,600 babies were killed in their mother's womb today. That's more than died on 9/11. And it is a terrible, painful death for that baby. And they have actually ultrasounded the death of these babies. And you can see them fighting for their lives. And they call it the silent scream, as that baby's mouth is wide open, screaming in the womb of that mother as it's being killed. This is what we're talking about when it comes to where we're at as a country and politically. You've got professing Christians who knowingly vote to keep that legal. And if you vote for Hillary Clinton, you are voting to keep that legal. And pay for it with taxpayer money. That's just a fact. It's not political. It's a fact. And Christians have been getting by with not dealing with the facts by pretending it's political all of my life. I don't care if it's political or not. If it's a fact, it's a fact. If it deals with this, deals with morality, I'm going to preach it. I don't care if they call it political or not. Amen. And someone calling themselves a Christian, supporting politicians who will keep liberals on the Supreme Court, who will keep that legal, you're a pathetic excuse for a Christian, if you're a Christian at all. Whoremongers. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. I had a couple parents that didn't like this, but this is what I told my girls. You want to have sex? You can have all the sex you want. Just get married. Amen?
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with sex. It's when it's not in the marriage bed. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Welcome to America. We have a nation of whoremongers, a nation of adulterers. Look at this. This is the most recent that I could find. It goes back 2.5 years this was released. In the United States of America, 79 million people have HPV. 79 million people. That's almost 3/4 of our population. It's what supposedly gives women cervical cancer and, you know, all kinds of other cancers from that. Think about that. And you can be as pure as the driven snow, and if you marry someone who's had sex one time with the wrong person, you get that. That's what some people have done. I know a lady who, I'm going to try to make this as vague as possible because I don't know how it all turned out, but a lady whose son had sex one time and got AIDS. One time. Chlamydia, 1.57 million. This is one I didn't even know existed. Trichomoniasis, they call it TRIC for short, I think. You got 3.7 million people. Gonorrhea, they've kind of almost gotten rid of, but now they're saying that there's a new strain that is penicillin resistant. What'd you say?
Trick-or-treat.
Yeah. This one, genital herpes, 24 million. That's almost 1/4 of the population. Syphilis is way down to 117,000. HIV, 908,000. And that's almost a death sentence for most people. Hepatitis B, 422,000. That's all because they won't listen to God. And before I became a Christian, I've just said, you know, there's a lot of us who got us saved that, you know, we could have got AIDS or whatever, you know, but for the mercy of God. Sorcerers, Acts 8:9 says, but there was a certain man named Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. And look, I'm telling you, this is connected. Sorcery and bewitched. And if you think, I'm going to do drugs, but I'm not going to get into witchcraft. You know there are a large number of professing Christians who smoke pot. You know that? Yeah. You know what they... And they'll argue all day long that it doesn't affect them spiritually. And I know some of them from Facebook. And it does affect them spiritually. They lose their ability to discern. And listen, if you think that your ability to continue following God is because of your intellect and because of you, you're crazy. The only way that you're able to follow God, to understand His Word, to live in a way that pleases Him, is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're filled by unholy smoke, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will become deceived and think that you're on the right track, and you'll be on the wrong track. And it will take you farther and farther and farther and farther.
You ever heard other people saying, God made earth? They misquote chapter 1 of Genesis. They say because it said herb, but they don't read into it and know that herb is another way of saying vegetables.
Yeah, but it that's not really an argument to begin with, because God made everything, and if God made something, where does that mean He meant for you to smoke it?
Nowhere. I haven't
seen
it yet.
There are fish that we eat and go die.
Yeah. There are animals we don't eat. God made it. There are mushrooms. If you eat it, you never come back. God made it. Yeah. That's not even an argument. That's somebody who's done a little too much of this when they make that argument. Because, you know, God made uranium. Smoke that. Now, this is just an FYI, but in the Greek language, the word is for sorcery in our King James Bible is pharmakia, which is why you go to the pharmacy to get your drugs. And folks, the fact that you go to a pharmacy to get your dope does not mean it's right. There are some drugs you should take. There are some drugs that have a purpose and a reason. But there are I believe a majority of Americans today are on legal dope, and it's wicked. They are taking drugs that put them in an altered state of mind, and they go loop-de-loop, and you can't touch them. And until they'll get off the dope, then they're in the ozone out there, and there's nothing you can do with them. And I've been trying to minister to people like that in my first pastorate. Down in Cincinnati, blew up because of this lady who was on legal psychotic drugs, and she ripped the church up. I've been dealing with it for 25 years, and it's not going to stop, because people will not listen to preachers. They'll listen to psychotherapists before they'll listen to their preacher. They'll listen to Oprah. They'll listen to Dr. Phil before they'll listen to their preacher who preaches the Word of God, or just listen to the Holy Spirit by opening up the Word of God itself. If you're on a drug that you should not be taking, and it is putting you into an altered state of mind, it's no different from smoking pot. Some of the sanctimonious fundamentalists out there who are going to condemn people for smoking pot, and then they're on all kinds of psych medicines, and they're all flipped out all the time. Pharmacology is just a drug administration fostered by worshiping modern technology, while pharmakia is ancient Greek sorcery with witchcraft and drug administration fostered by worshiping idols. It's no accident that as more and more people are on dope, and I'm including the legal kind as well as illegal, that outright paganism, outright idolatry is making a comeback. Not in third world countries, I'm talking about America and Europe. I was telling somebody last week, when Jenny and I first moved where we're at, we're driving right through Plain City, and there's this big statue, plastic looking Mary. And I've two or three times seen people out there with the little beads crossing themselves and genuflecting, I think they call it, and praying to that idol. It's a big, ugly, plastic Mary. You know, I don't have a problem with somebody, of course I'd be a hypocrite to say I do, because I like nativities during Christmas time. But if I saw some Catholic jump down there and start praying to her, I'm going to run them out of my yard.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.